The question we're going to look at briefly today is this: what can I expect from God? And you say, it's come back, one of the fundamental pillars of Christian faith is that there is a God and that he's active in the events of the world and in the events of individual lives. And not everyone believes that, of course. Some years ago, it was very common to find a person who believed in God who didn't interfere or in any way in the events of the world. That's not Christian faith authentically. That was something called deism. We probably don't encounter that too much these days, not formally anyway. But we're more likely to encounter two other ways of looking at the world in our time. Firstly, there's what we might call nihilism. It means that everything that occurs is random. You know, there's no meaning or purpose behind anything that we do or anything that happens to us or happens in the world. And it's encapsulated, isn't it, very well in that two-word slogan, stuff happens. I know the word isn't stuff usually, but, you know, stuff happens. And secondly, there's superstition. And this is very common as well. It normally goes under other more respectable names. But what the variants of superstition are saying is that, yes, there are forces at work in the world which we don't understand, be they to do with star signs or spiritual energy sources or the unseen hand of fate. And they determine what happens to us. And maybe the most common example that we would come across in slogan form would be, what goes around comes around. You will hear that a lot in the world today. In other words, if you do something good, something, some force, you know, something that we don't really understand will make it happen that you get something good in return. And Christianity, of course, offers a very, very different view of the world, a view where ultimately God is in control. Going to see a film clip now, as we do on our connections, and it involves somebody who had is one of my favourite films, but this guy, he has a very sort of inbuilt view of the world that has God in it, something from his upbringing. A clip from Forrest Gump.
Which way?
Over there! They're over there! Get on the wheel and take a left!
Okay!
Gump! What are you doing? Take a left! Left! That's where we're gonna find those shrimp, my boy! Ha-ha! That's where we'll find them!
Shrimp.
Where the hell's this god of yours?
It's funny Lieutenant Dan said that, because right then, God showed up.
Came through here yesterday, destroying nearly everything in its path. And as in other towns up and down the coast, Biola Battery's entire shrimping industry has fallen victim to Carmen and has been left in utter ruin. Speaking with local officials, this reporter has learned, in fact, only one shrimping boat actually survived the storm.
Louise, that's Forrest.
After that, shrimping was easy. Since people still needed them shrimps for shrimp cocktails and barbecues and all,
we were the only boat left standing. Bubba got shrimps what they got. We got a whole bunch of boats, 12 Jennies, big old warehouse. We even have hats that say Bubba Gump on them. Bubba Gump shrimp. It's a household name.
Right then, says Forrest Gump, God showed up, and there's the hurricane hit them. Christians differ on exactly how and how much God controls what happens in the world, but all believers, all true believers, believe that God is active in the world and in individual lives. And so today, to avoid controversy over debatable matters, we're just going to look at one key verse from the Bible on the subject of God's activity in our lives. It's going to come up on the screen. Technically, this is known as God's providence, found in the book of Romans, New Testament, chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And the easiest way, just in the time we have available to us, is to break it down into three sections. Firstly, in all things, God works. And the Bible reveals God to be a God without limits. Nothing is too hard for him. We know that. He's the creator of all things. That's made clear in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not everyone believes that, of course, but Christians do. And it's important we remember that God is the creator, because it's the first sign we have that nothing is too hard for him, that there are no limits for God. Of course, that wouldn't be enough on its own to give us confidence that nothing is too hard for God. It's possible to imagine, if you've ever seen the film Frankenstein, it's possible to imagine a world like that, where you know, the creator creates, but if the creation goes out of control. But but the Bible doesn't give us that picture in any shape or form. It shows that God very much remains, at least in overall control. If not, we wouldn't be given the end of the story as a certainty. We are. Jesus will return and make all things new. God's kingdom will be fully realized, and all the bad stuff about the world as it is now will be put right once and for all, because God is ultimately in control. Now, there's a debate about what the writer Paul means by all things. Again, there are different understandings of that. But if we were to open our Bibles, I don't suggest you do that necessarily now, but you would find that the context gives us some insight. Actually, it doesn't have it there, but the actual verse in the Bible starts with a preposition, something that my English teacher told us we should never do. And we know that in all things. And that means that it links to what has gone before, obviously. And if we were to turn there, we would find that Paul has been, the writer, has been talking about hard times. He's been talking about suffering. And so what we're being told is that God is working, yes, not only in the lovely, wonderful things that happen, the great things that we enjoy, but also in the bad things that happen. Doesn't say necessarily that God is causing those bad things, but the sovereign rule of God means we have to say his hand is not, he was not unable, if he'd wished, to prevent them, so he must be allowing them. But just the fact that God works in all circumstances, the good and the bad, is a source of great comfort and hope when we're experiencing hard times, suffering. Whether that's sickness, bereavement, unemployment, financial problems, whatever. And one thing that has often been said about God's providence, God's activity, is that we often don't identify it until after it's happened. Looking back, we see what God was doing. So it's good, isn't it? It's good to ask the question, because we have that privilege with God of prayer. It's good to ask him, what's happening? God, what are you doing? What are you doing now? But we are not dismayed if we don't get an answer. What we do is trust that because of what the Bible says, God is doing something. And because that's what he's promised. One day, you know, either later in this life or in the next, we will see what God was doing. And of course, we don't just do that. We don't just sit and wait for God to act. We take action ourselves. It's possible to take this idea and become very passive, very fatalistic. You know, if we lose our job, maybe we say, well, you know, God's allowed it and God's working through it. So, you know, I'll just sit and wait to see what God will do. But if we do that, we're taking an overly simplistic view of God's activity. that we're not reckoning with the cleverness of God in weaving things together in his dealings with us. God is perfectly able and normally does use our activity and our prayers as well and bring them into those all things in order to bring about the outcome that he's working towards. So if we just sit around waiting, we may delay, we may miss what God wants to do, because his work might include our work, our activity. And so we trust God and we pray and we act. We act according to the best guidance we have available to us, the Word of God, Bible, praying to God and listening to him, and we take the advice, don't we, of people who we trust to also be doing those things. In all that, we trust God, because nothing is beyond his scope. He works in all things. Secondly, God works for good. And this is very important too. A lot of people go around under the impression that God must be punishing them for something. You know, it's not, I want to say it's not a bad starting place for you if you're there. At least it recognizes, and there's a recognition there, that there is right and wrong. And God does have a view on what's right and wrong. And God does, it is in his nature to punish wrongdoing. But that thought that God, something bad has happened to me, God must be punishing me, is a misunderstanding, is absolutely and totally wrong. One day God will punish wrongdoing, and he'll punish wrong saying as well, as the Bible says, and wrong thinking. There'll be a judgment day. Maybe I've written down it won't be today. Well, it might be today, mightn't it? But it hasn't happened yet. Today, people suffer the consequences of what they do. They break, you know, if you break the law, you'll probably go to prison or you'll get off with a fine. You will be punished. If you eat or drink or smoke too much, you'll probably most likely become ill. And that is the consequence of your action. Neglect your prayer life, your worship, your Bible reading, you'll probably lose. There'll be consequences. You'll probably lose at least a measure of your closeness to God. You won't hear his voice so clearly. You know, fail to forgive others, you'll probably fail to feel forgiven. But that's very different, isn't it, from saying that God is punishing me. God is punishing us when hard times come. And that just can't be true, can it? Because if you look around the world, you will see all sorts of crooks and scoundrels prospering. They're wealthy. They are not, even as we would like to think, maybe unhappy. They're living the life of Riley, and many honest and kind people are suffering. And that's because no one's getting punished by God yet. So what does that mean to us? It means that when hardship comes, we trust that God is working for good in it. Maybe God is working to transform that situation of hardship. You know, people do get healed. People do get, by the hand of God, come out of financial difficulty. It is happening every day. But maybe he's not doing that yet. Maybe he's using our situation to bring us closer to him, teaching us to trust him more, calling us to bring our priorities closer to his. Someone said once, it's only the hardships of this life that ever cause us to really to lift our eyes to heaven. God is love. You know, when you're experiencing hardships, God has never ceased to love you. He's not ceased to love and care for you. He's able and willing to work for your good. And so that we come to the last part. Who is the promise for? It's not for everyone. Again, we have a truncated form. It should read, of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Well, we don't need to fret over that today. The promise is for those who love him. And God loves everybody. God loves everyone on this earth. God has loved everybody who ever lived. God will love every person who ever will live. And the Bible reveals what is called God's general grace towards everybody, towards all of humankind. Jesus says God causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's God's general grace. But the promise of God working for good in all things is for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Now, God calls everyone. God calls everyone. But not everyone loves him. Those who love God accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and their Lord. And so this promise is for those people. And if you haven't, you know, this morning, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, which means you give your life to him, can I tell you, you do need to do that. Because there will be a day when God's general grace ceases to be operative, and grace will only be shown to those who've accepted God's offer of grace in Jesus Christ. And all those examples, the Bible indicates that all those examples of general grace that everyone enjoys will on that day be brought back to our minds and used, if you will, as evidence that we should have known. We should have identified that there is a God in heaven who is providing for us. We should have responded on that basis to God's offer of rightness with him through Jesus. But you know, for those who've shown their love for God by trusting in Jesus and giving their lives to him, this is a binding promise. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It's a family promise, if you will, from a loving father, an all-powerful, all-loving father to his children. And so just to close, three ways we can apply this to our lives. One, be thankful. You know, my guess is that each of us, I know I can, we can look back on times, moments, situations where things were really very perilous. You know, I can think of times when, and they make me shudder, when I could have, been killed many, many times over in my life. Just, that little turn of the steering wheel, or I could have done something terrible. You know, it worked out okay. And that wasn't chance. It wasn't fate. That was God working for your good. And so we remember, we give thanks to God. Secondly, we trust God. Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. And that same sort of teaching block, he said, your heavenly Father knows what you need. And though we know that in this world we will inevitably have trouble, we also know that God is able and willing to sustain us and to turn trouble to our ultimate advantage. And so we trust him. And we use that trust to subdue the anxiety that comes on us when these things happen. And thirdly, we must continue to think and act as the people who love God, as the people who God has called. You know, we said this is a promise only for those who make Jesus Lord of their lives. It's actually a promise that no other people could even receive, even if it did apply to them. Because those whose top priority in life is comfort, security, prestige, pleasure in this life could never be secure in that promise, because that promise is not promising any of those things. There's no guarantee that here that our lives will work out the way that we want or the way that we have planned. The Bible says, fix your eyes on things above. Take the long view. This life is not all there is. It doesn't have to be perfect in every way. In fact, in some mysterious way, says the Bible, the hardships that we encounter in this life actually prepare us to enjoy heaven all the more. But at the same time, we remember that although God never promises to meet all our wants, all our desires, he does promise to meet all our needs and to be working in all things for our good. Amen. Just going to have a little film, a testimony clip. I chose this testimony. I thought, well, that's nice, because the guy is very presentable, he's very articulate, he puts it over nicely, and he has a nice little message at the end. And I thought, oh, but it's so ordinary. I thought, maybe that's the point, you know? Maybe that's the point. You know, it's lovely. I can think, and you can probably think of things where coincidences, as who was that, Sue was saying, or Rachel, you know, when they've happened in a much more striking way than what our testimonier is going to give us. But, you know, he's in everything. He's in the things that we miss if we're not careful. So let's hear this this gentleman and what happened to him.
January 29th, it was a Tuesday. I got called into my boss's office, and he had come back from one of his business trips / vacations, and we usually get together and have a summary of what's taking place. So when he called me in, and he said, well, I've got human resources on the phone as well. And so the moment he said that, I'm thinking, well, I know this is not good. But in short, he just summarized to me that this was going to be my last day. And I was extremely surprised. Didn't have any warning of it at all. One of the things I did do, I just told everybody who needed to know. When I lost my job, I told them so that they could pray for me. That's what a church does. And that's what my church did. And so while I was, you know, cleaning carpet, I got this inquiry and they wanted to see me the following Monday, Tuesday. So I went and I interviewed and it went fantastic. On the internet, somebody else had inquired the very same day about if I'd be interested in interviewing with them. And so I wrote back, yes, I would. And so they wanted to see me the Thursday of that week. At any rate, this is about the 3-week mark, and now I've had 2 great interviews, no offers yet, and literally just lying face down on my living room floor, praying for both jobs. And it was the second job while I was praying. The name of the company, funny part about it, the name of the company is Petra Risk Solutions. But Petra, the foundation, is in the Bible, you know, meaning the rock. Bottom line is, I got an email from them. I thought it was basically an email saying thanks but no thanks, but it was an email with a full offer, and it was a better offer than the other company. As I look back on how this has all taken place, I honestly believe God has a plan when bad things happen. I look back on all the things that He taught me, teaching me how to wait. It was so hard to wait, but as the scripture said, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Hard to do, but in the process, God was making me stronger. He gave me time with my family, time with my church, a testimony for anybody who wants to hear it. And in the end, He put me in such a better place with good people, great company, closer to my house. And I just know that had I not lost my job, I wouldn't be in this place of joy where I'm at right now, truly. And so I thank God for everything, and I just want to emphasize, put God first in all things, and you know, He will take care of you. As the scripture said, and I said it before, seek Him first, the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added unto you. That's it.
And I know for a fact that there are people here who would give a very similar testimony. In fact, I've heard them tell it. And maybe over lunch, you could share. There'll be an opportunity to share what God has done in your life, and that will be a wonderful thing. Let's just have a minute or so of quiet. So I've spoken a lot. Let's just reflect for a minute or so.